Star 2. Tonight, fortunately, we get a chance to start a new book. This is the book of the Acts of the Apostles. One of the things that I like about this book, the Acts of the Apostles, is that it gives us the idea, it gives us the insight of what it was like for these men. When you have just had Jesus the Christ to leave, they've just gone through a period where they were totally afraid. They've just gone through a period where they felt that the whole Roman government was going to come upon them, these 12 guys, and felt that Rome was going to come in and destroy them and kill them. And so they were hiding. And for God's sake, what happened is God used these men to allow us to see what the history of the church was like. When I say church, I don't mean the building. I mean actually the ecclesia. So how do we look at the book of Acts? The book of Acts is a continuation of what Luke wrote to a man named Theophilus. When we go to the first verse of this, we're going to find out that he had written a former treaty to a man named Theophilus of all that Jesus had begun to do. The book of Acts is going to show us how Peter was able to enact the things that Jesus had told him that he would do. It shows us a new guy that comes on the scene by the name of Paul, whose name was first called Saul, but as a Gentile, he was called Paul. We're going to see how they were doing miracles at a particular time. We're going to find out how they taught. We're going to see how they bound and loose regulations that they would have to do for the assembly. We're going to see how they spread and they dispersed. We're going to see how they had problems and how they dealt with the problems. We're going to see what the philosophy that they taught, not only the philosophy, but how they interpreted the word of God and how they stuck to what was going on and explained the scriptures. We're going to also see how they valued the scripture in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is going to show you the persecution that comes upon them. Because many times people that feel that they want to follow God or they want to follow the teachings of Jesus, they feel that people are going to love them and that everybody is going to like what they have to say. But everybody is not going to like what they have to say. And they're going to see that explicitly through these men. They're going to see that the Spirit of God is going to come upon them the same way that the Spirit of God came upon people in what we call the Old Testament. Most people don't realize how much the Holy Spirit of God was working in what we call the Old Testament. We're going to see that God, whenever he teaches these people, he's going to have the Holy Spirit acting in such a way that he does the same thing for them that Jesus had done. Because when Jesus was there, they had power to do things. They had power to do things on a level that no one else in that particular time could do and claim God was giving it to them. I'm not saying no one else had the power to do miracles. I'm not saying that no one else had the power to do other things. But under the teachings of what Jesus gave, these were the men. We're going to see what the doctrine is like. This is historical. This is not what is called didactic, that tell you do A, do B, do C like they did, and you're going to get the ABC methodology. You're going to see that these people were in a particular level because of the outpouring of not only God's Spirit, but the outpouring of God's work that he had set up for the starting of his organization once Jesus had left. The book of Acts is an amazing book. 28 chapters that will cover a period of about 38 years. And to take the book of Acts and limit it to one chapter or to two chapters or one or two verses is unjust. So in going through the book of Acts, if we keep in mind that these Acts show us the history of them the same way that when you go through the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it gives you the history of how God dealt with the patriarchs. It gives you the history of what the world was like before the flood. When you look at, there's a different stage that comes after the flood. There's the stage where they actually went in and they had a conquest of the land under Joshua. It gives you the history. It gives you the history of after the conquest with Joshua, what it was like up until the time they went into captivity. Now we're going into the history of what it was like when Jesus left. Imagine, if you will, you've been around this guy who claims to be God in the flesh. You've been around this guy and you've seen him speak and the weather stopped being a storm. You've seen this guy take men that were blind and he made them see. You see them spit on the ground and make clay and rub it on somebody's eyes and they'd be able to see. You've seen a man do something nobody else would do, touch a leper, and instead of the leprosy getting on him, the leprosy leaves the guy. You've seen a man walk on top of water, and just because his presence is there, someone else can walk on water. You've seen a man walk in a funeral procession and touch the coffin, and the young man get up and be able to go take care of his widowed mother. You see this same man speak words that nobody else has spoken and speak of the exclusivity of who he is when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Not that I'm seeking for the truth, not that I need to be enlightened in the truth, not that I need to reach a nirvana. I'm it. And that no man can come to the Father except through me. The man speaks explicitly of having a Father. And yet, he says, if you don't believe that I am, quoting from Exodus 3, where God tells Moses, when Moses wants to know his name, I am that I am. They pick up stones to kill him, but they don't. But now this man, you've seen him killed. He didn't stop it. The same man that could take a few loaves of bread and two fishes and feed 5,000. The same man that could do the same thing and feed 4,000. And now he's arrested. He's tried 3 times illegally in one night when he's not supposed to be tried at night according to Jewish law. You don't have 2 or 3 witnesses, so they pay people to testify. And he's not supposed to have to testify against himself, but the high priest said, I adjure you. And he testifies, and the man rips his clothes, which he's not supposed to do as a high priest. And you see all these illegalities take place, and God doesn't stop it. Then on top of that, they take Persian type of cruelty, and they nail him to a tree, because the Persians didn't want the blood on the ground. And they nail him to the tree, when you know for a fact that Moses has said, cursed is every man that hangs on the tree, and nobody stops it, and he's dead. All your hopes are gone. All your dreams have disappeared. It's like, oh God, we thought that this was the one. Understand, if you have no background information of what is called the intertestamental period, the Maccabees, 1st and 2nd, 3rd and 4th Maccabees, things that went on during that, what they call the 400 silent years, you don't know that they had a lot of people that came up to say they were messiahs, especially when it got close to the time of Daniel's fulfillment, where there was supposed to be 77s of weeks before Messiah came. And now he's dead, and everybody has seen you with him. Everybody know for 3.5 years, if you saw him, you saw them. And now you're hiding. You're hiding. But the women found you. You don't know what's going to happen. But the women come and say something like, we seen him. He's up. The grave is empty. And it hadn't dawned on you yet. How could this man be all that he says he is and somebody heard him? And they go see and they find out. This man that raised the dead, that couldn't stop himself from being there, or could he? They are going to find in the book of Acts he could have, but he chose not to. He's raised from the dead. One of the things that's amazing to me about that, the Bible tells that, is that it shouldn't have been that a woman saw him first. In the first century AD, for the woman to be the first to saw, that meant that you were a coward. Most people wouldn't tell it about themselves. A woman's testimony was not even counted in court many times in the first century AD. Look at how God just showed them up, but they reported what they saw. Then Jesus comes back and they see him. According to Luke chapter 24, remember this is the second letter from Luke. According to Luke chapter 24, they think that Jesus is a spirit. Jesus tells him in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, handle me. A spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see me to have. According to John chapter 20, verse 27, the same John that was there with Peter and James, etc., Thomas said, unless I see him for myself, unless I stick my finger in his hands and thrust my hand in his side, I ain't going to believe none of y'all. I'm not going to believe the women. I'm not going to believe you other 10, because Judas is gone. Jesus appears in the room. One of the most amazing things about that is that he is not a spirit. He has flesh and bone, but he has the ability to appear in the room. And when we think about, when we get to where we see where Saul is turning to Paul, and Paul in the 18th chapter go to Corinth to live, we're going to find out, those of us who were with us when we went through the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, in the 21st, where it says Christ is the first fruits of them that slept, we're going to begin to understand that the body that Christ reappeared is the same type of body that we will have. It will not be the body that can get sick anymore. It won't be the body that can have pain anymore. It won't be the body that can get old anymore. And you won't have to be like that book I got over there, Mary Baker Eddy, where it says that sickness is just in the mind, that disease is just in the mind, it's just metaphysical in the mind, and that it's not a real reality, whereas she still died. We're going to get a new body, and that's what's promised. And so now these guys don't know what's getting ready to happen, but they're ready to go back to work now. And now Jesus is saying, I got to go. It is like, what do we do? What do we do now? And the book of Acts is here to show you, what did they do? How did they do it? And what we ought to do is look at this book and see what they did, how they did it, and hopefully what it would mean to us. If you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And we'll start at Acts chapter 1, if you will, and let's stop this right here and let that just be the introduction.